appreciate the work that they're doing here. Do you love your pastor? Are you thankful for what he's doing in the kingdom of God? Amen. Amen. Him and his wife are laboring. And I just thank the Lord for people like this that are willing to serve others. That's what they're doing. They're serving this community, serving you, serving your family. And I thank God for people that are willing to carry that burden. Amen. And it's a little bit different than a 9-to-5 job. You don't always punch a clock. You don't always know when the phone call is going to come, but you're available. Amen. And I thank God for preachers. And I know as an evangelist, there's times I wake up in the middle of the night praying for people or praying about a service, thinking about things. And I know pastors do the same. Amen. And he's got the heart of a shepherd, and I give honor to him today. Thank you for your kindness to my family, Brother Smith. Thank you for that. And my kids love this family. They've been so kind to us, and we're blessed today. It's good to be with your bishop, Elder Brother Smith. Appreciate him and his ministry, and good to see him and his wife, this family. And we give honor to them today. So great to be with him, and I just love his spirit and love what he's done for the kingdom, and I want to be like that. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to serve the Lord with my life. And hopefully I can work with my family that they will do the same. Praise God. Now, you guys are here today, and we're all here to worship the Lord, to serve him. And wasn't this awesome, all this Bible study? I put my Bible thing over here, but I'm on the 2-year program. So y'all just... I've still got 2018 I'm working on. Praise God, but... It is wonderful to see the church being involved in these type of things. You know, somebody took a survey one time, and they said those people that are really growing in the Lord spend between 4 and 6 hours a week outside of any type of church services, studying their Bible, listening to sermons, whether it's on YouTube or listening to audio sermons. But they are actively learning and growing in their faith outside of the church service. Now, you say, why is that important? Jesus said that there were people who were more noble than those in another area because they searched the Scriptures daily to understand what was being preached and what was being taught. Now, we hear sermons, and this isn't part of my message today, but just kind of this is all free right now. Praise God. But we hear sermons and we hear teaching, and the Lord wants us to take that and to study it. And say, this is what we are hearing. This is what we're learning. Let's talk about it. I think it's always a good idea for parents to ask their kids over Sunday afternoon dinner and say, what did you hear today in Sunday school? What did the preacher talk about? What did you learn in Sunday school? And let's talk about it at home. Isn't that great? We can all learn things. We can all grow in the kingdom of God. And so I'm excited to see what this church is doing, the new people that are here, and how God is blessing. And I want to... turn your attention today to the Scriptures, to the book of Luke chapter 11. Would you stand with me for just a minute? And we're going to go to the Word of the Lord. Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to read from verse 13. And Jesus, in this particular passage, is talking about prayer and how to tap into God's provision for your life. And he's talking about asking God and seeking God. And he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Again, Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. He said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Praise God. And I want to just talk to you for a little while today. And I realize I'm the only thing standing between you and beef noodles and chicken noodles and all kind, whatever else kind of noodles are out there, praise God. But I'm excited today to talk to you about this subject, and hopefully it won't be too long. But I want to talk to you from this title, It Is Time to Ask. It is time to ask. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the singing and the worship and all that's gone on in this service. We ask you, God, to have your way in the remainder. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before you're seated, Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's time to ask. And you can be seated. God bless you. I remember working at Hampton Inn when I was in Bible college. And it came time for something that I was very excited about, and that was a work review. How many of you have ever done a review before? They call you into the office and they begin to go over your work and kind of how you've been doing. And sometimes you might want to have a boss review, but that's not really how it works, is it? You know, praise God. The boss usually calls you in there and says, here's what we think, your performance review. Here's what you've done. Here's where you're doing well. Here's where we maybe need you to do a little better. But the manager began to tell me, we want to give you a raise. And so he began to tell me, now we've taken your pay, your hourly wage. I think it was like $7.50 an hour. This is back in 2001. And I was working at a Hampton Inn. So it was like $7.50 an hour. He said, but we're going to give you a raise. We're going to give you an upgrade to $7.75 an hour. And I was excited about that. Now, I was single. I was living at the dorm, so I didn't have a lot of overhead expenses. My vehicle was paid off. It was a 1990 Ford Topaz. I hit a deer with it one time. I was driving home 70 miles an hour on the highway reading the newspaper. I was bored, and I hit a deer. And my dad fixed the car for me, went down to the junkyard. He bought and installed the green hood on my red Topaz. And so I drove this anti-chick magnet all through college. But as I'm sitting in this man's office and he's telling me, we're giving you a 25-cent raise, I said, you know, if I could just mention something, I haven't received a raise in over a year. He said, oh, really? We didn't do a 6-month performance review? And I said, no, we didn't. Is it possible you could add that on? He said, sure, we'll just add that right. You know what? And he did some calculations with this. He said, you know what? We're going to give you that raise. You're not going to get $7.75 an hour. You're going to get $8.06 an hour. And I was excited. It turned out even better than what I could have imagined. Now, it still wasn't very much, praise God. But you know what? I had to ask for that raise. That second raise. I had to ask for it. And you know what? If I would have walked out of that room, I wouldn't have received the raise. He wasn't overly excited to give it to me. But you know what? Because I asked him, he was willing to give it to me. Now, you know, some of us, at times in our lives, we can face fear when we ask for things. Maybe asking for love or affection. You know, it's funny, when you first get married and you're trying to get to know somebody, or even in a dating relationship, you're afraid to, you don't know how that person's going to respond. So you may want to go to a certain restaurant, but you may say to someone, well, where do you want to eat today? Now, in your mind, you're thinking, boy, I would love to go down to the hot dog stand and get a bratwurst with a little relish on it. Anyway, I'm getting hungry. But because of fear, you might say, wherever is fine. Now, when a woman tells you wherever, that doesn't mean whatever. When a man tells you wherever, they can eat anything. But if a lady says, oh, wherever you want to eat, that's fine. You might say, well, how about, and maybe give two or three options. I'm going to help some guys here today. Is this all right? And let them choose one of those options. But sometimes that, like my wife would think, well, I don't want to upset him. And what if he doesn't want to go the place that I want to go? So she'd say, well, how about let's just go over here? Because she was thinking, well, you would probably like this, so I'm going to appease you. And I'm thinking, well, that's where she really wants to go. I don't really like it, but you know what? That's fine. We'll go there. How many, isn't this insane? How many of you have ever experienced something like that before? Right, okay, yeah. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody over in this corner, right over here somewhere. But you know, asking can be risky. It really can. Asking can be risky because we can be rejected. Now, some of us, we might, in our lives, we all want a certain sense of connection. We want to get to know someone. We want to have affection in our lives. But sometimes we may feel afraid because we have faced rejection. Now, we've all faced it at some time or another in our lives, and especially if someone has dealt with that in their childhood, where they felt rejected, they felt like nobody loved them, nobody cared about them, it's very difficult for that person to express how they feel, to express what they really desire. Because maybe they've been raised where, don't ask questions. Now, I was raised like this. My dad was a kind of authoritarian. He was raised in Bolivia, South America. You know, he's muscular, was in the Bolivian army, was stabbed with a bayonet. You know, that kind of live ammunition shooting over them. That's the kind of guy he was. I was raised in the city. You know, I didn't know about all that stuff. And so my dad would always tell me, be a man. And so I guess being a man meant standing up really straight, maybe trying to grow some chest hair, you know, and being really tough and masculine and not crying and not needing anything or anyone. You just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you just make it happen. Don't argue with people. Just fight your way through. But I also learned that I shouldn't cross my dad because he was the boss. But I also learned that I probably didn't matter quite as much as I thought I did. And so I struggled many times with asking, with trying to express what I desired. And some of us come to God this way. Some of us come to God wondering, is there really a God who cares about my life? Is there really a God who is there for me, who will answer my prayers? And so many of us have prayed prayers that have not been answered, or we feel like they have not been answered in the way that we wanted them to be answered. And we get frustrated with God. I've talked to many people that said, I prayed and nothing happened. I asked God to heal my grandmother or someone who was sick and they died. I asked God to help me get out of this painful situation and it seemed to continue on. And the enemy would like them to feel that God doesn't care about them. That somehow God doesn't love you because he's allowed you to be in this situation. And you know what? God doesn't have anything for you because, look, you've prayed and asked him for something, but he didn't answer in the way that you thought he would. But you know what? There's something that Jesus tried to teach us, that when we come to God, we don't just come to God one time and that's it. We don't just come to God once and say, well, he didn't answer. Well, I guess that's all, you know, whatever. But you know what? If you really desire something, you will ask for it until you receive it.
That's right.
And so the Lord is trying to get us to understand something, that when it comes to God, asking is the only way to receive from him. Hebrews 11 and 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without conviction in your heart, it is impossible to please God. For it says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know what? When you pray, your prayers need to come from a place of conviction that says, I believe that there is a God. And I believe that when I pray, he is going to answer my prayer. You can't come to God any other way. You cannot please God with prayers that are half-hearted. Well, I just don't know. No. When you come to God, if you want to receive from him, you pray like this. Lord, I believe in you, and I know that you want to pour out your blessing and your answers in my life. Praise God. And so we understand that this is so important in our walk with God. You know what? We all make mistakes, and Jesus understood that. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. In other words, If you are someone who has sometimes done some things maybe that weren't right and you failed at times, he said, how much more are you still know how to give good things to your children? How much more does your Heavenly Father want to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You see, some of us are looking at ourselves as castaways. But the Lord wanted us to look at ourselves as children in a relationship with a loving Father. So many people feel that they are rejected by God. That because of their sin or because of their past, the mistakes that they've made, that I cannot have access to God because I've been too bad or I've made too many. Maybe I've got, like the one guy said, he said, hallelujah, I've got so many issues, I've got a subscription. Hallelujah. I was so dumb growing up one time, I was raking leaves and I fell out of the tree. Hallelujah. No, anyway, I don't know. You ever felt that way before? Y'all just pretend like it's just me up here. Like that guy that said, one time I had a rough childhood growing up. He said, I came out in my backyard and he said, my next door neighbor was cutting up onions. He said, I was bawling like a baby. Onions was a good dog. No, anyway. Sorry. Some of you get that tomorrow. That's all right. But you know, too many of us look at ourselves and say, man, that's a horrible person. Or man, there's so many things wrong with my life. But you know what? When the Lord talked to us, He said, you need to come as a child comes to their father. A loving father who has all the provision that they need. Some of us need to learn Hebrews 4 and 16 that says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And find grace to help in the time of need. It's time for some of us to start praying like we are sons. You know what a son says? Dad, 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 dad. What? What do you want? Can I have some candy? No, you cannot have candy. Dad, dad, dad. What? Now just pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about here, okay? Can I have some candy? No, I already told you. Dad, dad, dad. Oh, what is it, son? You know, that twitch kind of coming in the eye. What do you want, son? Can I have some candy? Fine, I don't care. Have your candy. Now, think about that. Any father wants their children to be blessed. Any normal parent, when you hear that child crying, you want them to be blessed. But sometimes that child teaches us adults a lesson. That even if you get a no, you might keep on asking. Because sometimes you will receive, not just because you're somebody special, but because you keep on asking. How many of you parents know what I'm talking about? Your hair is standing up here. Your eyes are twitching. Your brain is slowly turning into jelly as your child is asking you for the 100th time if they can have something. And you finally just in desperation give in and say, just take the refrigerator. I don't care. Why? Because they have learned how to ask. They have learned how to come to their parent. Some of us need to have that kind of attitude with God that says, Lord, I need you. And I'm not going to stop asking until I receive. I am a son. I am a child of God. And I need you to move in my life. Praise God. Praise God. You know what? We serve a God today that has everything that we need. He has a great supply for us. James 1:17 says, every good gift. Look at your neighbor and tell him, every good gift. And every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Notice he talked about the relationship. The Father, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God has everything that you and I need. I said, He has everything that you and I need. He has provision for us. Now, I want to just talk to somebody here because I feel like the Lord is speaking to this church in particular. Some of you that that work and labor in this church, the Lord wants me to tell you that it's time to ask Him for things. We believe sometimes when we look around, we say, I don't have the provision. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have these things. Maybe I need something for my Sunday school. Or maybe in my class, I don't have enough students. Or maybe you know what? It's time to ask God. It's time to ask Him for 20 students. You know what? It's time to ask Him for a youth group of 15 people. Is that all right? You know what? Those that ask God will receive. Well, what if God only gives me 5 young people in my class? Would you say that's a failure? No. God is answering our prayers. Some of us need to understand we need to pray a little bigger prayers. We need to ask God for a little bit more. We need to understand He has all the provision that we need. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift a hand to the Lord and just say, God, help me to pray big prayers. God, help me to pray big prayers. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Not only does God have provision, but He has answers. Some of you right now are seeking God. You are asking God for things that you do not understand in your life. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to answer some questions that you've had in your life. Some of you have been asking God, why did I have to go through this? Why did I have to deal with this pain? Why did I have to deal with these things? And the Lord is getting ready to speak to you and show you some things in your life. God can give you understanding just like He gave to Joseph. When his brothers who tried to kill him, they tried to sell him into slavery as though he were dead, just a dog. They lied about him. They told his father that he was dead. They did so many evil and mean things to him. And yet at the end of his life, his brothers were bowing before Joseph, crying out to him, begging him for mercy. And he said, listen, you didn't send me here. God sent me here. You did all these things to me, but you need to understand that God was in control the entire time. I'm preaching to somebody here today. God is wanting to let you know, I'm still in control. I'm still on the throne. There's nothing that can happen to you to destroy you. I'm going to turn it into a blessing. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to know God has a word for somebody here today that He's going to speak to your heart and encourage you and minister to you. Praise God. Praise God. There was a buddy of mine in Bible school. His name was Tom Zapata. He's a Mexican guy, and he was so passionate. Always so passionate. He's brushing his teeth. But you know, one time, Tom, he was discouraged. He was telling me, he said, man, I was so discouraged. He said, I was so frustrated. Things weren't going the way I wanted them to go. He said, and I was kneeling down to pray. And this was in a chapel service. And here comes West Virginia hillbilly, James McChristian. And he started praying for Tom. And he started praying over Tom. And he was so passionate. And he began to speak in tongues as he was praying over Tom. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying for Tom. And later Tom went up to him and said, James... He said, I didn't know you knew Spanish. He said, what are you talking about? I'm from West Virginia. I don't know any Spanish. He said, I hardly know English. Praise God. But Tom said, you were praying over me. And you were saying, keep running. Keep going. Keep moving forward. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God knows how to give you a word for your life. God knows how to speak to you. But some of us need to say, God, I'm ready. I need an answer. I need an answer. I need a word from you. I want to hear your voice. Praise God. Some of us, your heart's been crying out to God. And you may not understand it, but there's a yearning. There's a longing. Some of us feel that. We don't always know how to put it into words. And some people would say, has God been speaking to me? How do I know God speaks to me? How do I know He's there? How do I know God's talking to my heart? Well, you know what? You're here today. There's been people that God has put in your life to encourage you. There's been things that have happened that if you look back over your life, you can see God's kept me. God has walked me through some dark areas. God has allowed me to live. Folks, I had an accident. I was pulling up in an overpass, getting ready to go onto the interstate, and a lady blacked out, came over that overpass 70 miles an hour, and struck the front of my vehicle, and she began to alligator roll down the highway. If just a few more feet, and I would have been flat as a pancake in that car. And the Lord began to speak to me. I went, just real shaky and nervous. I went to the hospital, got checked out. And then you know what we do when we get nervous? I went to Raising Cane's for some fried chicken. Hallelujah. I said, I got to eat, man. I got to eat. And I'm in the line. And I'm talking to this young lady. I began to tell her just kind of some things that were happening. And I said, man, I just had an experience. I'm just a little shaken up. I need some chicken. Help me out here, you know. So I go and I sit down. And this young lady comes over to me. She says, you know what? She said, I'm an apostolic young person. She said, the Lord just sent me to tell you that God is working in your life. Folks, we don't know what God is doing. But we do know that God is speaking to our hearts if we will listen to Him. Now, I always say that the reason the Lord didn't let me die is because He knew my wife would backslide with all the money she's going to get from my... Anyway, no, praise God. Praise God. But you know what? I believe that God is speaking to somebody today. There was a man named George that was in one of our churches. And George was, he was partying all the time, living just a life full of alcohol. He was an alcoholic. He was just so frustrated, so angry with life. He was tired of the way that he was living. And he had made a decision. He was going to commit suicide. He said, I was sitting on my bed. He said, I had that gun laid over my lap. He said, but something told me not to do it. He said, and I didn't know what it was, but something said, you can't do this. He said, well, maybe there's something else. Maybe there's a God. Maybe God wants to do something in my life. Just a few days later, his neighbor said, George, why don't you come to church with me? Why don't you come on and visit our church? Folks, you don't know where people are in their life. You don't know where people are, what they're dealing with in their life. That's why we have to be sensitive. And it was that invitation that made a change in George's life. He started coming to church. He started bringing his son. His son, little George, got baptized. George was, he started getting open a little more to God. And he was baptized himself in the name of Jesus. And then a few weeks later, we had an outdoor event. And there was a preacher there. I hear Brother Mike Easter's coming. I think he was actually at our event where George was. And he was preaching and ministering. And George was standing there. He was out in the, you know, he had his... had his shorts, his tank top, and his chains, and he was just a tough guy. And man, he was tough as nails, but you know what? In that service, the preacher said, lift your hands to the Lord. He began to lift his hands. He said, and God is going to touch your life. If you'll ask Him, God will give you the Holy Ghost. And George was beginning to ask God, Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, he fell out, boom, fell down on the ground, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave him the utterance. Folks, God heard his cry. God heard the cry of his heart. He had been asking God for more in his life. And not only did God give him the Holy Ghost, but just a couple of months later, as he was working in his, he worked at a little gas station in the cooking area. And his boss came and said, he said, George, he said, you know, there's something different about you. He said, I don't know what's happened to you. He said, but you're a different man. He said, you're smiling all the time. You're happy. He said, and you know what? I feel like I need to promote you to work over the whole back office here. He said, I'm promoting you. God began to promote this man. He did a change in his life spiritually, but not only did he do that, he did a change in his life physically and emotionally. Folks, I'm telling you, God can answer the desires of our heart. Praise God. So what does God want to do? He wants to fill us with his power. I believe that God wants to flow through our lives through the power of the Holy Ghost. And you start talking about ghosts, you say, whoa. We're not talking about scary ghosts. We're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about the presence of God. How many know what the presence of God is like? You might be in a room, and I've been in rooms very small, just like a little, probably about the size of maybe half of this platform, just in a little service. People were starting a new church, and we began to play a little piano they had, electric piano. They began to sing and worship God. And all of a sudden, the presence of God began to move in that room. And you know what? God wants to move in this place today. God is wanting to speak to somebody's heart today. God's wanting to use somebody in the gifts of the Spirit. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were in a service, and the presence of God was there. It was at the end of the service, and I just felt in my spirit that God wanted to use somebody in the gifts of the Spirit and tongues and interpretation. I said, we're going to just take a couple minutes here, and we're just going to let just listen to God. Listen to what He's telling you. He's going to put a word in somebody's heart. Just speak it out. And nothing happened. I closed the service. The man got up after me. He said, you know, I felt that too. I felt, but you know what? Let's just be sensitive to the Lord. A young man came up to me after that service. He said, Brother Tapia, he said, I was that one. He said, I knew that God had a word in my heart. He said, that was me, and I missed it. I missed it. I said, well, you know what? That's God speaking to you, that it's time to go to the next level in your ministry. It's time to go to the next place in your heart. And God is speaking to somebody today. It's time to go deeper in the Spirit. It's time to open your heart and say, God, what do you want to do in my life? I'm tired of just sitting on the fringes. I want everything that you have for me. If that's your prayer, lift your hand to God and say, God, I want everything. God, I want everything that you have for me. Praise God. Somebody here can receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. You say, what is that? When the Holy Ghost comes in, He takes control of your lips and your tongue. He begins to speak through you in a language you've never learned before as the Spirit gives you the utterance. That's the initial sign of receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they were praying. They were seeking God. They believed in Jesus. They had already known who He was. They had accepted Him, that He was their Savior. But you know what? They had not yet received the Spirit. That tells me you can believe in Jesus. You can know that He is Lord. You can be praying to Him. You can be actually repentant, but not have the Holy Ghost. And so what happens? When you seek after God, He fills you. When you ask God for His Spirit, He doesn't say, well, hold on just a minute. Let me just check a few things. No, He wants to pour out His power and presence in your life. Praise God. So what does God want to do today? First of all, God wants to fill people with His Spirit. Secondly, God wants to take somebody deeper in Him. What does that mean? That means we say, God, I'm surrendering to You. Whatever You want to do in my life, that's what I want. Praise God. It's time to ask. It's time to ask. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them and ask them, say, would you give me a high five? Okay. Well, that's great. Praise God. Now, this little kid was doing something one time where he told his dad, he said, Dad, he said, I want you to pretend like you're running through the woods, and I'm going to move my hands by your face, and these are the trees. He said, are you with me? You know what I'm talking about? You know where this is going? So his dad's like, he says, okay. Now the son said, Dad, now close your eyes. Dad closed his eyes, and his son smacked him on the head. He said, Dad, never close your eyes when you're running through the woods. Lord, help us. Now, you kids, don't use it on anybody now. I just gave you all kinds of ideas here. Praise God. But you know what? When I asked you to ask your neighbor to give you a high five, some of you went like this because you knew what was coming. When you ask a kid to give him a high five, what do? You got to better put your hand up or they're going to thump you on the forehead or something. Why? Those are the people who are getting ready to receive a high five. Some of us know how to ask, but we need to learn how to receive. We need to learn how to surrender and say, God, I'm ready to receive. Lord, I receive whatever you have for me. That comes through our praise. That comes through our worship. That comes through saying, God, I don't have everything. I don't know everything. But I know this, that you are a good God and you're willing to pour out your spirit upon me today. Praise God. I want us to stand to our feet right now. Musicians come, magicians, whoever. Doesn't matter. But you know what? If you can receive today, God has more for us. I believe that God wants every person in this room to be full of the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? I believe God wants to touch our children. I believe God wants to touch our families. I believe God wants to pour out His Spirit in a special way. So just, we got a few more minutes. I know I'm going to get you out of here by 3:30. We're going to eat some steak and potatoes and whatever else, biscuits and... Hallelujah. Whew. But do you have a few more minutes that we can just spend some time in prayer? Is that all right? So here's what I want us to do. I want us to get in the posture of prayer. That's just like this, lifting up our hands. Now, some people, they're, you know, those extroverts, they're just like, you say, lift your hands, they're like. Then you've got those introverts. You're like, lift your hands, they're like. You know what? It's more about a posture. It's more about an attitude. It's more about saying, God, I'm giving you everything. So don't look at your neighbor and be like, well, man, they're more surrendered than I am. You know what? You just surrender in your own way to God and say, God, here I am. And as we begin to play, they're going to sing. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to spend some time in prayer. What do you usually come around the front? How do you usually do it? Let's just pray and seek God. Come today. If you want young people, you want to come and pray. If you want to pray in your pew, that's all right. You do what you feel comfortable doing. But let's seek the Lord for just a little while. I wish somebody would say, God, I want more of your spirit. God, I want more of you today. I'm asking you for more right now. I'm asking you for more, Jesus. Let's receive it today in the name of the Lord.
Come on, let's push in right now. God's here to touch you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're fighting. God has miracle working power. If you need salvation, God is here for you today. If you need just a simple miracle and a touch in your body, God is here for you today. Come on, let's ask right now. Let's ask right now. God, I need you. God, I need a closer relationship with you. God, I need a deeper walk with you. God, I need to go beyond just a shallow walk. But I need to get deeper into you right now, God. I'm asking you right now, Jesus, to walk up and down every aisle. Walk up and down every seat, God. Begin to touch. Let your miraculous power begin to move right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the presence. Come on, slip off into His presence just for a moment. Jehovah. Thank you, Jesus. God Almighty. Hallelujah, Jesus. Prince of Peace. Oh, troubles vanish. Think about that. Hearts are mended in the presence. thank you, Jesus, in the presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I didn't come here on accident. God, I came on purpose. It wasn't because I was bored today. God, didn't have anything to do, but I came expecting. I knew you would meet me here, God, and there you are. I knew, God, you wouldn't leave me, God, but when I walked into your presence, I would feel you again, God, and there you are, just like I knew you would, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, God's doing good things all across this house. Come on, let's just reach out to him just for a few more minutes. God's reaching down. He's stirring up some things in some folks that maybe has been dormant for a while. Maybe we kind of just lost focus for a while, but God is there right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't forget who I was, God. You still love me, God. Even when you don't have to, you still care about me, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, walk up amongst your people right now, God. Wrap your arms of love around them, mercy around them. Reach down, God, and pull them in close to you like any good father would do. Let them know they're still your child, God. Let them know, God, you're still there. You still love them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Almighty. He's a Prince of Peace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Troubles vanish. Thank you, Jesus. Hearts are mended in the presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on. That's the presence of God you're feeling in this place. That's the Spirit of God that's moving through you. It's not just some strange thing, but that's the Almighty God letting you know He still loves you. Letting you know He still cares about you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Almighty Prince of Hallelujah, Jesus. Troubles vanish. Hearts are mended. If it's appropriate, why don't you grab the hand of someone next to you? We're going to pray together right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, even when we don't have the faith, even we don't have the courage, God, help us to ask for the right things. Help us to ask for the things that are going to draw us closer to you, God. Help us to realize, God, some of those things that we need, God, isn't always what I want. But sometimes, God, it's what I need. It's the uncomfortable things. It's the things sometimes, God, that may not be easy to ask for, God. But I'm asking you to make me more like you, God. I'm asking you, God, to help my mind to be clear. Help my spirit to be right, God. Sometimes, God, it's not easy to walk into the throne room of a father and be honest of what I really need. But today, God, I want to be brutally honest and tell you, God, I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I need to be. And I'm asking you, God, to help mold me into what You've called me to be, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Help me to have clarity, God. Help me to somehow get a perspective, God, of not my will, but your will. Not thy, my will, but thy will be done, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I'm asking you right now to give them the faith. As those doors begin to open, God, to walk through them. As you begin to give them clarity in their mind, God, to have enough faith to get up and bring it to pass. It's one thing to ask for the right things, but it's another thing, God, to step into those things and respond with faith. Respond with anointing. Respond with the obedience to your Spirit. To submit myself to your will is the hardest thing we'll ever do, God. Because we have to stop being me and allow you to be God of me. And that's the hardest thing, God, to allow you to be God of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When God's still touching all around this place, if you don't need anything from God, just begin to pray right now. Would you look over and pray for somebody else right now? There's folks here with needs, serious needs. There's folks that need miracles in their lives. There's folks that need the Holy Ghost. There's folks that walked in desperate today for a touch from the Almighty God. And God came to meet those needs. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God.
He's the Prince of Peace.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Troubles vanish. Hearts are mended. Come on, God snuck in on you today. God walked into your room today, God. He allowed you one more time to feel His presence. It's not by accident that you're here today. It's not by accident, but God walked in to gently do an open heart surgery on some of us today. To say, you know what? You're asking the wrong things.
He's the God.
If you're ever going to see my will accomplished in your life, you're going to have to learn to walk into my presence and ask me for the right things. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, soften my heart. God, take my mind and allow me to see you. See the vision where you're trying to take me, oh God. I may not understand it. I may not recognize everything. But I'm asking you one more time, God, to allow me to walk in favor again. To allow me to walk in the unity, God, that I know you want me to walk with you, God. God, I've been dancing on the edges for long enough. But now, God, I'm asking you to find favor. I need favor on my life, God. I need favor on my life, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, God is reaching down right now. If you'll yield to Him, He'll minister to you in a deeper way than you've ever known before. You may not understand it. You may not recognize. But God is here for you today, right now. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God's mending some things. God's touching some things right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God's touching little children all across this place. God's touching moms and dads across this place. God's touching folks that have walked away, and yet they come back to His presence. And God met them here. We don't deserve to feel what we're feeling, but God is here today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If it's been a long time since you spoke in tongues, why don't you let Him refill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why don't you let Him refresh you? Why don't you let Him renew you? How long has it been since you've really been free in the presence of God, where there was no condemnation, no fear, no doubt, no preconceived ideas in the presence of God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's not an agenda, God. I'm just here, me. This is all I've got to offer, God. You know me from the very beginning to the end. There's nothing to hide here, God. But I'm standing here open before You, asking You to refresh me, asking You to renew me, God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty. Hallelujah. He's the Prince of Peace. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
When you're in
the presence, thank you, Jesus,
of the King.
Hallelujah, Jesus. In the presence. There comes a point you can walk into the presence of a king. You can come boldly before the throne room. God will act on your behalf. He'll fix situations in your world. He'll work problems that you think are insurmountable to be used of God. And God has a way of fixing those things. If you will allow Him to be God of your life, if you will allow Him to truly be God of your life, you'll yield every member, your mind, your spirit, your soul, your body, and allow God to be God. God will touch you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise be to Your name. Praise be to Your name. Hallelujah. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing children give themselves over to God and allow God to be God of their life. You know what? Some of us, we waited halfway through our life, most of the way through our life. But when God can take a young child, He can protect them from the things of this world. There's no better thing than seeing God touch those little children. It puts every Sunday school lesson into perspective. It puts everything that we do to see God reach down in touch the things that God is doing here very in our presence today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.